would we be this morning without the divine intervention of Jesus Christ? No telling where would we be, but I know where we're at now. We're at Calvary Baptist Church. And what a blessing that is to be here, to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And now that we're in the month of December, we are going to lift up Jesus. We lift him up anyway, every service of any Sunday, any Wednesday. But now that we're in December, let's just take some time and focus on the Lord and him coming to this earth in a virgin womb and then growing into manhood and taking upon him the form of a servant. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of to his death there upon the cross. And because of that, we can know him today. What a blessing that is. You like the backdrop this morning? The manger scene with a cross in the shadow. And again, that is what it's all about, folks. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And I want to say it's good to see each and every one of you. And I hope that you've had a good week this past week. You made it to the house of the Lord, so that's a good sign. And we've all come this morning to sing praises unto the Lord and to hear from him through his word. And so my prayer is that we will all be blessed by being here. And I know that we will. I want to mention a few prayer requests this morning. And I just got one announcement. And then we will toss things back to Brother Allen. Let's remember in our prayers this morning, Miss Carla Rich, Brother Don, Sister Carla Rich. I spoke with them just a few days ago, and she was diagnosed with lupus. And I spoke with him via text messaging. but she has lupus, and with her permission is the reason why I'm saying this. I wouldn't dare mention anything personal without asking. But they're waiting on results of a test determining what kind of lupus it is, and then we'll know the actions to take at that point. So remember Miss Carla Rich, Brother Don, as they head down this path. And again, Brother Allen's here with us, but he's been dealing with his Bell's palsy. And let's continue to remember Brother Allen and thank you, Brother, for your faithfulness to the Lord and to our church. Miss Lauren Hancock's mother was hospitalized this past week. And has she been released, Miss Lauren?
Yeah, she went home on Thursday, but she has to follow up with specialists, and those appointments are the
28th. She's been released from the hospital. Everything is fine with her heart, I believe, for the most part. But she does have some follow-ups with some doctors and the 28th. And so let's remember her. Let's remember Brother Jamie as well as he takes care of her and is with her. Remember Miss Lauren and family. Spoke with Brother James Townsend this past week, and Miss Shirley finished up. Shirley Townsend, she finished up her radiation of the cancer she has on her lung. And she has to wait 30 days, and then they'll do a PET scan to see where she's at on that. So please, please, please remember Miss Shirley Townsend, Brother James, and Jim Daly. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, he was recently diagnosed with being anemic. And so this actually explained a lot with him. He was feeling fatigued. He was dizzy and confused. And so now he discovered that, and so he's taking iron supplements and other things. But just remember Brother Jim and Miss Dawn. Remember Miss Connie Teague's brother, Brother Bill. He's making, he's having improvements in his recovery from the motorcycle accident he had. He's back in Georgia, and he's in some kind of hospitalized home where they're taking care of him. Miss Claudia Darby actually reached out to me a couple times this week. She's having tremendous problems with her sciatica nerve, and let's remember her. And then we got a report from Miss Cheryl Millwood, your sister, actually, made it through just fine, her surgery. Is that right? She came home Friday. What a blessing that is. Made it through her her surgery. And then, church, if we would, a special prayer request for Brother Johnny Ivey. I mentioned to the choir this morning. Those that know him know his situation. They sent him home to be in hospice care. Mid-40s, I believe he is. Just celebrated 20 years at Welcome Hill. Great man of God, great friend of mine. He was my seminary teacher, and I love that man. I really do. And so let's lift him up in prayer along with these others. And my only announcement this morning will be this. We will have a Christmas service on the 20th. That's the Sunday before Christmas. And, of course, we'll have music, but this will be our annual special Christmas offering. So this is an opportunity to give to the Lord on this very, very special occasion, the occasion of his birth. And so you might want to say double thank you to him by this special Christmas offering. Yes, sir.
Forgive me, I forgot to ask you if I can make an announcement.
Sure. Yeah. 5 minutes from now.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. I think he is. I think he is.
Number two, I'm sorry, I'm going to take too long. Number two is any help today at the tree lot. Last Sunday afternoon, Amanda and I and our family went, and we walked into a tornado. We had no idea what was happening. But they expect today will be a much slower day, but they need specifically, if you can just come tie trees onto cars. You don't have to lift them. They'll get guys who can get them on there for you. You can just tie those things on, or if you can just come.
There you go.
We won't even sell you a used car. So, anyways, if you can serve your church today, you would love it. That thing's a huge blessing to our church.
Amen.
Our church budget for the youth group is $0.
Yeah.
It has been for over a decade because of this tree lot. It's a huge help to our church.
Amen.
And the youth group is just saying, you can help us, please help us. We need you today.
And is those trees that we need help retrieving, are those in the farmer's market?
The ones that, no, sir, these are.
Beyond the farmers? Oh, okay. All right. Well, you've heard the request. And if you can and you're able, please help. Please help.
I do have one more announcement.
Sure. Come on. Okay. So if you're a woman of Calvary and you want a gift, go see the ladies today. All right. If not, no gifts next Sunday. Oh, we'll give you something. All right. Is that all? You sure? Bro Larry, you got anything? Bro David? Okay. It's the Christmas season. Things normally pick up. All right. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's just worship the Lord, see what he'll have for us this morning. And I guarantee you, you'll be glad you came. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name today. The name that's above every name, the name by which only man can be saved is the name of Jesus, through that name. And Father, I pray today that we would be sensitive to you, the Holy Spirit. God, we yield ourselves to you in this moment. There's a lot of things, as Brother CJ said in choir practice, that we could all be doing today. There's many things we have to do this coming up week, and it's easy to entertain those thoughts during the hour of worship. But Father, help us to dismiss everything, everything. Lord, even the things that we cannot change, help us dismiss everything, because we know that we're meeting on purpose today. We're meeting here for a reason, and that is to praise you and to hear from you. Hear from you through song and hear from you through the preaching of your word. I pray that you'll draw all men today. We are forever thankful and grateful for who you are and for what you do. Be magnified and glorified. Lord, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Choir, stand with me, and church, stand with me this morning. I don't know about you, but I've heard many times over the past weeks this phrase, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Amen. One of these days, folks, we're going to get out of here. We're going to leave all of our troubles and cares behind. We're going to sing about it this morning, page 333. Let's sing "I'll Fly Away." Verses this morning on the first now.
Didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward.
Sweet peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above. There is true peace this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right. Well, again, it is such a blessing to be here and to be able to stand one more time and proclaim God's word. I do want to say that since this is the first Sunday in December, I want to do my very best throughout this month to, on Sunday mornings, to preach on what this month is all about, and that is Jesus. And so that's my intentions each Sunday morning, to focus our attention solely upon the Lord and the whole reason as to why He came. And so that's what we're going to attempt to do. And I hope that the messages will be a blessing to you in your life. The Gospel of John this morning, John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3 is going to be our starting point. Verse number 16. John 3, 16. Very, very familiar verse of Scripture this morning. John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I do want to take a moment and bow for a word of prayer, and then I'm going to have all of us read this verse together. Father, we bow one more time in Jesus' name. I pray for the next few moments you would get me out of the way. I submit to your authority and the ability you have in me. Father, I pray that the message will be a help and a blessing to your people. And if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray today they will embrace your salvation. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Altogether, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a blessing this morning. Very, very familiar verse. And this is how I want to kick off the month of December, being this first Sunday, and December being all about Jesus. I want to call your attention in this familiar verse to two words, and that is, he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. And for a few moments this morning, I want to preach on this subject, the gift. The gift, those two words, the gift. We all know this morning that Jesus is the greatest gift out of all gifts, not just at Christmas, but year-round. The Lord is the greatest gift. Listen what Paul said about this gift in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Paul said this. Paul said that this gift is an unspeakable gift. Isn't the Lord in his salvation this morning a very unspeakable thing? To really embrace how and why the Lord would bleed and die, be buried in a tomb, and on 3 days rise again for sinners such as we are. To try to describe this gift, at least Paul says, he couldn't find words. It was unspeakable. The same word for unspeakable is indescribable. And this morning, Jesus is indescribable. His love is matchless. How that he would leave heaven's glory and be embodied in a virgin womb and then take upon him again the form of a servant and bleed and die for us. It is very, very indescribable. And so this morning, the gift, Jesus is the greatest gift. Paul said it is an unspeakable gift, but also this gift, Jesus, is a re-gift. Do you know that? Jesus is a re-gift. You know what a re-gift is? It's that gift you get at Christmas time and you're like, oh yeah, thank you. And then you say, oh, and then you go, you know, you're starting to think who you haven't bought a gift for yet, and so you just re-gift that gift, and you give it to somebody else. You know, a lot of people treat Jesus that way. He is the gift of life. He brings salvation, but a lot of people re-gift him. Oh, Jesus is not for me. I'm just going to allow what I heard about him to leave my ears, leave my heart. We know the word of God don't return void, though. But a lot of people re-gift, try to re-gift Christ, saying or thinking that he's not for me. And so I'm just going to discharge what I've heard about him. I want to say this morning that because of this gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the reason we celebrate Christmas. He is the reason for the season, as you all know. Now, we give gifts at Christmas, but this is all traced back to that one gift, Jesus, and his salvation. Not only do we give gifts at Christmas, he's the reason for the season. We give gifts at Christmas, he's the ultimate gift. But we put up Christmas lights, don't we? I'm pretty sure that there's at least a handful of people in here who's put up Christmas lights in their on their house or have some kind of inflatable Christmas ornament. We have the Grinch at our house, believe it or not. We have the Grinch. We like the Grinch. But Christmas lights. Why do we do Christmas lights? We do Christmas lights because he is the main light. Jesus is the light. And when he came into this world, it was a dark night, dark starry night. His light exposes darkness. And so whenever we put up Christmas lights, we are actually preaching a message to the world that Jesus is the light. And it's because of light that darkness is exposed. We have lights this morning. And because of that, we're not in darkness. Well, this all goes back to Jesus. What about the Christmas tree? We have Christmas trees, at least we have our Christmas tree because we hold to the fact that it has a biblical beginning. That is, it has three points. It's like a triangle. We know the Lord is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, regardless of what people say about Christmas trees, that it may have a pagan origin, I just say this, it's not pagan in my house, and I'm pretty sure it's not pagan in your house. If we sit back and we think about Christmas and why we do what we do, at least at my house, pretty sure all of you do the same, have the same reason why you do it, and that is because of Jesus. You give gifts because Jesus gave a gift. You have Christmas lights because he is the light. And the Christmas tree has three points on it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I said this morning to say that Jesus is the reason for Christmas. Whether people try to re-gift this gift, it's the gift that still keeps on giving. You may try to reject those watching this morning. I don't know if you're saved or not, but or anybody that's listening in person today. You may try to re-gift this gift if you haven't already accepted this gift, but it's not going to stop this gift. This gift is going to keep on giving. So Jesus has died for the whole world. And again, Paul said it's an unspeakable gift. Jesus is the greatest gift. So what about our verse this morning, John 3:16? What can we say about this very, very familiar verse? Well, I want to mention three things concerning John 3:16. And I hope that it would just rekindle the flame of our love for the Lord, that it would allow the flame to actually grow higher in our life. I want you to notice, when it comes to this gift, I want you to notice, number one, in verse 16, the motive of this gift. What was the motive of God sending his only son? Well, it's spelled out here in verse 16. He says, for God so loved the world. The motive of this gift, the reason for the season, Jesus is all motivated by four letters, L-O-V-E, love. It was love that motivated him to deposit himself again into a virgin womb and come into this world for us. And so it was motivated by love. This wasn't an ordinary love. It was an extraordinary love, as we know. This love of the Lord, it wasn't a natural love, but it was a supernatural love. Listen to this. It was natural with a whole lot of super on it. Jesus' love was a supernatural, extraordinary love. Notice how he describes this love. For God, not just loved the world, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Anybody in here have just one child? We do. And I'll tell you right now, I would not give my only child, not just for one person, for them to sacrifice their life for one person. We have God the Father giving his only Son to this world, not just because he loved the world, but because he so loved the world. A natural love with a whole lot of super on it. He had a supernatural, unconditional, extraordinary love, the Lord Jesus does. And for all of those who know him and that have accepted him, guess what? You can't escape his love. You can't escape his hand. In fact, John says that that we are in his hand, and no man, no thing, no sickness, no death, no situation in life shall be able to separate us or pluck us out of the Father's hand. You want to know why that is? It's because he has a supernatural, extraordinary love. I want to say this morning that the gift is all about the motivation of the gift. And that is that God so loved the world. If I told Christy this morning, Christy, like a lot of you probably do, say it this way to yours, love you, with a Y and a following it. Love you. How many times do we say love you every day to people? You know, our loved ones on the phone, love you, bye. Love you, bye. It's just become terminology. Love you. But if I stop and say, Christy, I love you, or I love you so much, it changes the whole usage of that word love. If we just say, if I say, Brother Allen, love you, brother, that's, you know, that's accepted. That's acceptable. But Brother Allen, I love you so much, man. Really feel like we've grown really close together. Appreciate you. Looking forward to the future serving with you. It carries a whole new meaning and definition. It's love, but it's much more love. Trying to describe how much you love someone. And so when we see the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for the world, he so loved the world. Now, I got a question for you. How much is so? How much is so? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Let's try to define how much is wrapped up in those two letters, S-O. How can I describe? It's when a person tries to, at least humanly speaking, I'm trying to describe my love for Christy, and just saying love you does not cut it. Because of what she does for me and our family, I want to express my love to the deepest capacity I can, and it's indescribable. And so I say, I use these two letters, so. Christy, I love you so much. It ain't just saying I love you, I appreciate you. I'm describing with two letters what is unspeakable to describe. But I want to try to glean for a few moments out of Ephesians 3. Turn to Ephesians 3. How much is so? I mean, from the Lord's perspective, how much is so? Ephesians chapter number 3. Notice verse number 18. We see the dimensions of his love. Ephesians 3 verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth and height. And then verse number 19 tells us the knowledge of his love. and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And so how much is so, for God so loved the world? Well, verse number 18 gives us the dimensions of his love. He says the breadth and length and depth and height. You know what that's describing? If you spread your arm out, your arms out like this, don't do that, you'll hit your neighbor. But I am, this is the breadth. Then it has the length, the depth, the height. It's a picture of the cross. A picture, the dimensions of God's love is the cross, the ultimate sacrifice. And so you want to know how much God loves you. And if you want to know how much God loves the world, for God so loved the world that we look at the cross, because this says, I love you. And so Paul in Ephesians chapter number 3 in verse 18, he's trying to give a description of God's love. Again, it's unspeakable. It's indescribable. So Paul says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. He says, God's love is like this. He says, and the height or the length, and that's straight up and down. And then he says, the depth, that's, of course, the bottom of his love. The height, that's the top of his love. Paul says, this is the love of God for you. And I want to say this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God is all about the cross this morning, from the cradle to the cross. And so we're looking at, trying to comprehend how much is so. Verse 19, the Bible says, and to know the love of Christ. Again, Paul cannot properly articulate in fine words. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. How about that? Not only is the love of God, the love of Christ that brought us to salvation, but it's the love of God. It's the love of Christ that whenever we slip and stumble, being saved, he still loves us. Unordinary, supernatural love this morning. If you came into the house of God this morning beating yourself up because you sinned yesterday, or you had a terrible week living in sin and you're a believer, come to the cross this morning. Accept the fact that he loved you when you were good. He loves you when you're bad. He just loves you this morning. I'm so glad that God not only loves the sinner, but he loves the saint this morning. There's been times where I've dropped the ball, Brother Harold. There's been times where I've failed God miserably. There's been times in traffic where I wanted to jump out the window and uppercut somebody. Oh, yeah. I live in the same stuff you do. There's times I get in that traffic line, and everybody's looking, they're looking down. What they're doing is they're texting on their phone. And I want to, Christy, I say, don't do that. Don't blow that horn at them. They're going to pull a gun out. And sometimes I say, I don't care. Let them pull it out. So sometimes I act a fool. And you know what? I'm not proud of that when I act a fool. By the way, fool's a Bible word. I'm not proud of that. And a lot of times when I do such a thing, act such a way, I come home and say, okay, time to study for church. A little bit of conviction there. But you know what? There's been times where I've allowed the devil to steal my joy by saying, you know what? I don't deserve to read God's word and preach God's word. So I'm not going to study today. Am I the only person that's ever been there? Personal guilt, condemnation, you're condemning yourself. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no reason for you as a believer to beat yourself up over sin. What you need to do is rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Your sins are gone. You don't have to beat yourself up. We have the Holy Spirit who enables us to do more next time, to say no to that sin next time. You fall again, get back in God's word, thank him again that you're saved. The depth of God's love. What a blessing this morning. And so Paul is trying to describe Ephesians 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. He continues and says, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How about that? I mean, if you keep reading, it gets better. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You sense the victory here that we have? That we have an ability to overcome? We have a salvation that's never lost. We have a love that is upon us and in us from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And then Paul sums it up by praise. Verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that this gift this morning, this gift has a motive. And the motive of this gift of salvation is love, supernatural love. Let me tell you one of the challenges with being a recipient of this love. One of the challenges of being a recipient of unconditional love, it means that I'm supposed to try to love unconditionally. Isn't that right? To be a recipient of the unconditional, supernatural love of Jesus, it is our command to love one another. To love one another. To not have any hoops out here that people have to jump through in order to love them. Has anybody ever held out any hoops in you in your life? Oh, well, I'll love them, but they got to do all these things. They got to make sure they do. They got to make sure they do that. I'm holding this thing over their head, and maybe in 5 or 10 years, when I'm over it, I'll forgive them. No. We're not to put out any hoops for people to jump through so that we love them. We are just supposed to love them with an unconditional love, because that's the kind of love that the Lord has for us. And if we don't forgive our neighbor, God won't forgive us. Meaning there's going to be a roadblock in our life if we hold unforgiveness. It's a challenge sometimes to forgive. But at the end of the day, that's what we have to do. Let me say this. Forgiveness is not for the offender. Forgiveness is for the offended. If somebody has hurt me, all right, I'm supposed to forgive them, not so much for them as it is forgive them for me. Does that make sense? Because you can't do anything. You can't move forward in your life. There's always going to be that situation in the back of your mind and mine. If we don't forgive. Listen, somebody may have offended you and tongue-lashed you and done you wrong, and they may be somewhere, they may be on vacation this morning. But you're here, and it's got you ate up on the inside. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I've been offended before. I've allowed what people have said in my life to eat me slap up. I know what it's like to lay in the bed at night to sleep like my pillow was filled with rocks. I know what it's like to experience hurt. I know what it's like to be bitter. But you know what? There comes a point in time. If you are a child of God, you will come to the intersection where you're faced with the fact that you are a recipient of unconditional love, and the only way to move forward is by forgiving them. Not so much for them, but for you. So this morning we have a whole lot packed in this thing about love. The gift of love is motivated, or the gift was motivated by love. But then, let me move on. There's a second thing out of John 3:16 I want to mention. Not only the motive of this gift, but then I want you to notice the miracle of this gift. The miracle. What was the miracle of this gift? Well, notice, if you would, in verse 16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The miracle of this gift has to do with sonship. God the Father gave his only Son. And what a miracle that is. Again, I wouldn't give anybody my daughter when that if that situation arose as a sacrifice, as of an anything. She's my daughter, but we're talking about God here. And we're talking about how that he loved the world so much that he performed a miracle through the virgin womb and gave his only Son. I want you to notice the two words, or the three words, only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. The word begotten, it means single of its kind. It means only born. This matters this morning. This morning, the Lord has many children. In fact, the moment you get saved and ask Jesus into your heart, forgive your sins, and repent, you become a child of God. But this verse here tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. While there are multitudes and multitudes of children of God through the new birth by faith and repentance, there is truly only one Son that was straight from him. Begotten Son. Only from his kind. Literally, Jesus is the essence of God the Father. He is God the Father. He is the only one. And so that's a miracle this morning. Dealing with his sonship. Only begotten Son. There's many sons and daughters that are saved this morning. But there's only one begotten Son. There's only one that was straight from him. There's only one of his kind. Only one born. And so that's part of the miracle this morning. But there's a second part of this miracle, of this gift. Not only his sonship, but his suffering. His suffering. Let me back up and just say this about the sonship. Jesus is the only begotten Son born straight from him. All of us are adopted. We're adopted into the family of God. Like the Gentiles, they were engrafted in to God's plan. So we are adopted children of God, but have full benefits. And so we see his sonship, but then his suffering. Notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Again, I go back to the story or the situation of me being called upon to give Lily to the whole world through her death for a person so they could live. No. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I give my life for her, but I'm not going to give her life for anybody. But we see that that God the Father gave God the Son. And this not only is motivated by love, but it is a miraculous gift. It was his only one born from him. And not only that, but he suffered. Now, turn to Romans 5, if you would. Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. I want you to notice here about the miracle of this gift. It has to do with suffering. In Romans 5, verse number 6 through 8, more specifically in verse number 7, we see that Paul gives us three groups of people. But let's read verse 6 for context. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Look at verse 7. He says in verse 7, for scarcely, that word scarcely means with difficulty, with much work, for scarcely, group number one, for a righteous man will one die. Then he mentions a second group, yet peradventure or possibly for a good man, some would even dare to die. And so in verse number 7, we have Paul sending out a challenge to whoever this person is, which is not a person. He's just trying to drive home a point here. He said, if you were to find a righteous man, scarcely there will be one to die for him. Or with much work, you'll have to find somebody to die for a righteous man. With much difficulty, you might find someone to die for a righteous man. Then he says, yet peradventure, or possibly for a good man. You can search for a person to die for a good man. You possibly might, for a good man, some would even dare to die, but look in verse number 8. But God commendeth or exhibited his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're not righteous. We're not good. Wouldn't nobody die for them anyway in the kind of fashion he was talking about. He drove the point home that God died through Jesus for the rotten, for the ungodly. He poured it out on Mount Calvary. He exhibited his love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How about that? He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave the best for the worst. He gave the best for the worst. Jesus today, listen, the plan of salvation is for all sinners. We are all, the righteous is a sinner. The good person is a sinner. We all fall under the umbrella of sin and falling short of the glory of God. And while there may be some to die for a righteous man, while there may be some to die for a good man, Jesus will die, it has died for the most rotten, ungodly people, the righteous, the good, the ungodly, the rottenness of this world. He died for all men. He started down a path of suffering. His ministry lasted for 3 to 3.5 years. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane is where he looked into that cup. He was carrying the weight of sin, the weight of the world upon his shoulders. And in his suffering, in his agony, he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine will be done. And the Lord, he persevered through this garden. He had the inner circle with Peter, James, and John, but they were over there asleep. And so he rose up. He said, sleep on, the hour of the Son of Man cometh, where he should be betrayed. And he was for sure enough betrayed. But it was all in God's plan. And we know that he was whipped. We know that his beard was plucked. Somebody, one long time ago, I think it maybe, I don't know, even before Zion View, somebody said, Brother, I'm praying about that beard you got. I said, really? He said, what does Jesus think about that? I said, I don't know. He had one, so I do. Sometimes people, they just try to. They literally plucked the beard from Jesus' face, put upon his head a crown of thorns. He carried that cross, and I'm not even properly expounding these events, but he carried that cross up Golgotha's hill, and then he died upon that cross for you and I. And the Bible says while he was on that cross, and this is just my terminology, Justin Hale's version, when he died on that cross, there was darkness through all the land. You want to know that why that was? It's because the light went out. Jesus, the light of the world, died upon the cross. And even then, he was preaching a message to the whole world by the darkness that was across the land when he died. Then he was buried. Then he rose again. And all who call upon his name for salvation will rise too one day. What are you saying this morning? I'm saying that there is a miracle in this gift, not only the sonship of it, the only begotten Son, but his suffering. He died for you this morning. Those watching, he died for you. You may try to re-gift him and say, Jesus, it's not for me, all those holy rollers, all those people who think they're better than everybody. No, we don't think we're better than everybody here. Listen, we're not perfect. We are just forgiven. I had a family member tell me that one time. He said, oh boy, you just think you're perfect. I said, hold on, wait a minute. This is coming from the mouth that saw me wake up with hangovers. This is coming from the mouth of the person who saw me cruising the streets all night smoking pot. This is coming from the mouth of the person where I was ready to give up on life and possibly take my own life. This is coming from your mouth. You know better than everybody that this old boy don't think he's perfect from nobody. It's just I'm forgiven and you're not. Won't you get forgiven? Won't you come to Jesus and quit regifting him every year? Listen, you may be watching. Won't you quit regifting Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior? Won't anybody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, why don't you quit putting it off on someone else and saying, oh, the drunkard needs them, and oh, that one needs them. No, you need Jesus this morning. Let's don't re-gift Christ. Let's celebrate Christ. So there's a miracle. He suffered. The Bible says in verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to become righteous, which we could never do. He didn't wait for us to turn over a new leaf like a lot of people say they're doing. No, just like you are, just like I am, he died. And the plan of salvation is open for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me mention one more thing. Not only do we see the miracle of this gift, the motive of this gift, but back in John 3:16, we see the magnitude of this gift. Now, you say, what do you mean magnitude? This gift doesn't fizzle out. Again, at Christmas time, there's different kind of gifts you can get. There's the re-gift, which I'm sure probably everybody's done it here before. See a few smiles. But then there's those gifts that only last for a couple days, like the cake. And Lord help the fruitcake. Don't give me a fruitcake. I said that one year at Pleasant Hill when I was preaching, and I think this little old lady, she wanted to give me fruitcakes year-round because I said that. I said, please, please. Those gifts fizzle out. They'll last over the weekend. But you give somebody a weed eater, you give somebody a lawnmower, a TV, that's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. It'll run out. Yeah, some of y'all think about some sales that's going on this afternoon somewhere. And I want to say that Jesus is that gift. It's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. You accept him now, and you are a child of God now. You have eternal life now. And it will last through all eternity. John chapter number 10, I'll just give it to you. In verse number 28, the Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life. I give. It's a promise. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What about that? This gift of salvation is eternal. The moment you say yes, you start to live forever. We go through the way of the grave if the Lord doesn't come back soon. That's just the transportation station, what I call it. The transportation station. They lay you down. The moment you die, your eyes close. The moment you open them up, you're in glory if you're saved. Listen to this illustration, and I'll close. I've never really thought about it before until I was listening to, it's called the Unashamed Podcast. It's with some of the older people that was part of Duck Dynasty. And those are Christian people, by the way. But Phil Robertson, the inventor of the Mallard Duck Call, I believe it is, He said, dying is like going into surgery if you're a Christian. There's that brief 10 seconds. They give you anesthesia. They say, count from 10 backwards. And you're like, 10, 9, you're gone. Check this out. Has anybody here ever had surgery? Okay. You wake up. This has been my case. I've had a few surgeries. I would 10, 9, I'd wake up. And one time I asked him, did y'all get started yet? How about that? I said, hey. When are we going to get started? Sir, we're all done. You're in the recovery room. Your wife is coming right now to see you. I mean, 10, 9, wake back up. It's over. For the believer, death is that way. Christy's grandfather, Gilbert Brown, went home to be with the Lord a couple weeks ago. And this is the God's honest truth. I wasn't there when he passed, but I took him to the doctor a couple weeks before he passed. But this is the testimony of her grandmother. Pawpaw had a wonderful crossing. In fact, days leading up to his death, he was seeing loved ones that was in heaven in his living room, Brother Ceylon, and outside of the window, loved ones that were there. And his son Larry, who went way before his time. This is the way I interpreted it anyway. He said, honey, Larry's outside waiting for me. He has a car door open. He just kept on saying, he said, who's that little girl over there? And then out of nowhere, he wanted to go see his sister that's still living. She's 90, 93 years old. And so he went to go see her, came back, and then he laid down in the bed. And he was alone in the bed at the time. Hospice was called in, I think, they got there on a Saturday. They were called in Friday, got there early Saturday morning. He was laying in the bed. He said, honey, will you come in here with me and lay down? He held her hand. He said, I want you to know I love you. And then within seconds, he died. Just that quick. 10, 9. Hey, honey. That quick is the crossing. He died and went to glory. God, having whetted, if you can say this, his appetite, showed him some things that only dying grace will give you, by the way. I believe in dying grace. He got a glimpse of the other side, and he held Eula May's hand and slipped off into glory within like minutes. You say, what has that got to do with the message? It has everything to do with the message, because this gift of Jesus Christ is the gift. It doesn't stop here. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. So Jesus is not just good for this life. He's good for the next life. And let me just say that death is not the end. It's only the beginning for the believer, Brother Allen. This world is growing dark. It's growing cold. But as I've heard many say during this pandemic right here in this church, even so, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Listen, I invite the rapture of the church right now to take place, to go home and be with the Lord where life truly will begin. This morning there's a miracle of this gift. And it has to do with the suffering, the sonship of the Lord. There's the magnitude of this gift. It shall ever live on. It's not like one of these temporal gifts. It's an eternal gift. And then, as I said a moment ago, it's the motive of this gift. And that motive is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say thank you, Lord, for his Son, the true gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. God, thank you for being our shepherd who walks with us and talks with us, leads, guides, protects us in this walk of life. But we know when the hour of death comes, if the rapture lingers a bit longer, we know it'll just be like going into a surgery. The way I describe it, we slip off, and then we wake up just like that. Father, I pray if there's someone here that needs to accept this gift, let them do so. Encourage the saints. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's